You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Got a coaching search going on. You got a draft getting ready for and free agency, all the work. So you want to know what's really going on with the Cleveland Browns, get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns at any time and everywhere. Got that app can plug you into this show, the live stream of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you, Nathan Zagura, and the two of us will be talking about everything involving this football team, the coaching search until there is a coach. And yes, we will be able to discuss this for days on end because this is one of those stories, Nathan, that just doesn't seem to take a break. Something new comes up, and the emergence of Ben McAdoo's name reported by, I believe it was Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
It's been confirmed by lots of people in the Green Bay area.
And people in Green Bay. And I think we will, before this week is over, bring you an interview from the Packers, at least from probably the media corps that covers the Packers, to give you some insight on who Ben McAdoo is and what he's all about, as we plan to do today with the latest in our series of profiling these guys. Adam Gase, we're going to hear from Mike Kliss at 2:30 to give you more about that. Scott Patrack, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, joining us in a little bit as well. And again, call us if you want to jump on board, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Looking at some of the tweets, so there's been an interesting conversation, and I've been watching this back and forth. ClevelandScores.com. Basically, one of the things he jumped on with regard to our point of view on Gus Malzahn is he said basically in on a short resume, we're excited about this guy, and he found that funny, and that's cool. You've responded, you know, that to look at the resume and so forth, and sure. I say the same thing. You and I endorse this guy, and it's not. I hesitate to say 1 year or a couple of years of success in different places tells us everything we need to know. The Chip Kelly story was somewhat of a shallow body of work, and you had to go back to the University of New Hampshire to connect all the dots about what he was all about. But good is good. Talent is talent. Sometimes you've just got to know what the person is and how smart he is and what he represents.
Right.
And that can give you a lot of clues.
Right. To me, it's about intelligence and the ability to adapt. People were worried and thought Chip Kelly was going to run, and that he needed a running quarterback to run his offense. That turned out to be completely inaccurate. And we've seen Nick Foles come in and have the unbelievable success that he had in that Chip Kelly offense. And Nick Foles, by the way, actually ran the ball a fair amount himself, even though he's not a traditional running quarterback. To me, it's more about the intelligence, the ability to scheme, play to the strengths, and take advantage of what a defense can do, make a defense think, stretch them to their limits. And that, to me, goes a long way. And I think, you know, when you look at it from a schematic standpoint and what he can bring to the table, it's that kind of out-of-the-box thinking that I think can go so far. And I'm looking for it right now, and I'll find it in a second. But there was a tweet yesterday by Greg Olsen, the tight end of the Carolina Panthers, which I thought was a very, very good tweet to kind of sum things up a little bit about Gus Malzahn. And here it is. This is what he tweeted yesterday. Gus Malzahn is a master of formations and play design. You may have rules, but he makes defense play slow and hesitant by design. That's why he's a great coach.
I like that. I like that assessment. And I think that sums him up perfectly. And there's more to this guy. I mean, there's depth to the man. And that's important to me when I'm looking at someone to lead a football team. Look, it's not about Newt Rockne speeches. I don't want to really date myself with a lot of our audience here, but I hope that still as an adjective or a descriptive point matters. That an analogy, Newt Rockne speeches, that's not what wins in the National Football League. What wins in the National Football League is having good plans, having good ideas, having a structure, having something in which the players can believe. And for better or for worse, the Browns decided in a very short time that wasn't Rob Chudzinski, that he didn't have those qualities. And I could argue and will argue that it's debatable about how much time he was allowed to have. If I'm running this team, I'm probably giving him more than a year. I'm definitely giving him more than a year. I would hesitate. It would be something I wouldn't do as they did. But I understand, given their explanations on why they wanted to do it when they did it and what they were thinking about. But it still, to me, is, you know, something that you do. It's a risk. And we've described this as being a bold move, so that's fine. Now your next move has to be even bolder. And not bolder to defy logic or what's the word I'm looking at? To defy what the masses are looking for and say, we're doing this just to be bold, just for the sake of being bold. No, I don't want that either. I want you to do something that is maybe doesn't meet the criteria of most of us who say, yeah, this is a recognizable name. This guy, you've got to get we're getting this guy because everybody knows this guy's good. But you're getting a guy that you know, you believe, you think is good. That's really what this comes down to. Stay true to your convictions.
Right. Absolutely. So. That's the bottom line. Let's get some barks from the dog pound right now. Reginald in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Good. How you doing, fellas?
Excellent.
Good talking
Thank
to you.
You.
First Same time, you. I think it is me getting a chance to get in there with you. Hey, I just wanted to ask, say just a couple quick things. Guys can comment on it. One, was there any talk about Coach Saban from Alabama? Because I thought, guys, when I was listening to you all one time, I thought I had heard something. I might be wrong. You correct me about that. They were talking about possibly having an interview with Coach, about possibly taking a job. Because I know my friends and myself and a lot of us are very excited about the fact of possibly getting him,
Coach Saban, I think... Well, I don't see him on the current list, when I'm saying I'm not looking at a list that says I don't see him, I'm not seeing that is a direction they're going is what I mean
okay.
by that. Okay. And that is not because he wouldn't be a good candidate. I think he made it pretty clear a year ago to the Browns that he wasn't interested in doing it, and his actions since then, re-upping with Alabama and getting more money for it, I think kind of verify where he is in staying there. Now, we know with Saban, it could change in a heartbeat, right? Whichever way the wind blows. But I'm not anticipating that happening. Just so you know.
Okay, I see. And my last question, fellas, and I get off and let somebody else get in. Guys, I don't mean to be wrong or seem that I don't really like. But guys, Johnny Football, for myself, fellas, I don't want him, man. I think he's going to be a bust. I do.
Why do you feel that way?
I just don't. He puts me in the mind of what we tried to do when we had Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy got a lot of paper, got a lot of ink and stuff. And when he came, nice guy, just like Whedon was. And I used to be about really trying to back up Whedon and stuff too for a long time. But it just seemed that there was just two quarterbacks that just don't have it. And I'm looking at college is way different than pros. And I think his style, it's just not going to work.
Okay. To me, my biggest concerns with Johnny Manziel would be his size, his ability to absorb the punishment, the rigors of being a quarterback in the National Football League. Will he be able to scramble around and make all those plays in the NFL? Not the same way he does in college. But I think what he showed this year is the ability to be a more effective passer from the pocket, which I thought was very important for his development, how he projected the next level. And in terms of personality, he could not be any more different than Colt McCoy or Brandon Whedon. This is a guy who's going to come here and have a little flash, have a little leadership, have a lot of moxie, and be the kind of guy that I think if he were to come and be successful and be able to withstand the rigors of the National Football League, could very much change the culture and attitude of an entire team.
Fully agree with that. I think the fun factor with Johnny is worth pursuing.
Not a bad analyst last night either, by the way.
No, he did a nice job. And that to me, you say, well, what does fun factor mean? You want wins. Of course I want wins. And I want a guy who can help this team win games. I see a guy who makes a lot of things happen that other quarterbacks can't make happen. And that's the number one quality that he has. And again, can he run away from NFL defenders? That's questionable, and that is my concern. But I'm willing to go down the road to see if he could do it. And I'm willing for this football team, which has had no answers at that position, has had no answer at the coaching position. I mean, in terms of, we talked about boldness, get bold, go, be bold on both of those. If getting Johnny Manziel qualifies as bold, which I think it would, then go for it. Make it interesting. Do something that makes us care about what this football team is doing. Don't make it a struggle anymore. So I think that's to me is that to me is got to be part of the thinking. What's right and good for your team to advance is the number one reason. But
right.
But these other factors matter to me. So.
They do matter, and I'll just say this.
Yeah.
Anything that they do, no matter how it is initially perceived, if they're right and it works out, they will be loved for it in this city. There's no question. All this city wants is a winner. All they want in Cleveland is a winning football team, a competitive winning football team year after year after year. They don't care how they get there. They just want to win. It has been such a long period of futility and heartbreak and just lack of production that I think that, you know, even if people didn't necessarily love Chud, they don't want to start over. I think it's the fear of the reset. The bottom line is the reset's got to be right and everything will work out. But I think you are right. There needs to be some type of a change of the culture and also some type of change on the production and the results, and that will ultimately be how this thing is judged.
Scott Patrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. He's going to join us next. He covers the Browns on this Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I hope you're staying warm wherever you are. I'm getting all kinds of horror stories from different people who are telling me they're in their workplace in bundled to the hilt. I mean, some say that their buildings are very cold today.
It's freezing.
They're inside, and it's still bitter to some of them in snow boots and scarves and hats and all. I said, man, pay a heating bill somewhere on the line. But anyway, it is a challenge. So hopefully you are comfortable wherever you are, probably driving around and got that heat cranked up. I know this. When I turned my car on last night after I left, when I was leaving the building, the car just went, it just didn't sound. The car said to me, what are you doing? Seriously, dude, why are you turning me on and why are we driving? Because this car, I can't do this. I can't go. And I didn't have that far to drive. But the car groaned its whole. I mean, everything I did, and it's a new car, and it was just mad at me for a while. Eventually, as it warmed up, I tried to let it warm up. My dad always said, let the car warm up. I said, well, yeah, okay. You know, I thought that was an old school thing, but
right.
you got to let it warm up when it's minus 11 when I started the engine. Anyway.
The thing that was the craziest to me last night was it sounded like on our exterior walls, the walls that were going outside.
Yeah.
It sounded like bombs were going off as apparently yes. some of the bolts, you know, the heat on the inside of the wall
yes.
and the freezing on the outside, and it would cause like a little expansion, retraction, and it would slip, and you'd hear these like bombs oh, going
yeah.
off on the outside of our house.
No, I jumped out of my chair like five times watching the national championship game, and I kept thinking someone was knocking at the door, knocking at the window. I said, hey, I'm watching the game.
It's hilarious.
It was just the house talking.
It's, you know what's impressive to me is that they even felt the need on the news to go out there and say, if you're hearing that, don't be alarmed. It's normal because obviously many people were experiencing the same type of a panicky situation as you and I.
I just think about the movie The Day After Tomorrow. That's all I can
exactly.
think about.
All exactly.
Right. All right, we got more coming up.